What I want to share with you today is the first chapter of my personal testimony. Now, there's a number of chapters, and the story hasn't finished yet, but I'm going to share with you chapter one, the most important chapter. When I was 21, I got it. Now, is there anyone here that's 21? Anyone here 21? No? Anyone close to 21? No? I'm on my third turn now, so I've done 21 twice, now I'm on my third one. When I was 21, let me tell you a little bit about what I was like when I was 21. Now, I was young, and when you're 21, you are young, and that's good. I was strong, I was intelligent, I was sporty, fearless, aggressive, I was a mover and a shaker, I had a job, I was committed to my religion, I was going places. Not to mention I was good looking and still am. But I'll be better looking in heaven. Even better looking in heaven. Praise God. But let me just tell you a couple of things here. I was into sports. Well, the sports that I was into was motorcycling, and I was into dancing. At that time when I was 21, disco was in, and I was into disco. I had a job. I was self-employed. And that job was a job that I worked with my dad. It was dad's business. I worked in dad's business with my brothers. And I still do the same job today. And that's in the order of 35 years. I've been doing the same thing. So still doing the same thing, having a ball. Now let me tell you about my religion. I was committed to my religion. I was Catholic. And I was committed. However, I wasn't a Christian. I wasn't a Christian. And there's a difference about being committed, attending church. But being a Christian, there's a big difference in being a Christian. However, that time in my life was the best time, and it was also the worst time. Well, the best time because, well, you're 21, you know, you've got all the opportunities ahead of you, and as I said, you're fearless, you're aggressive. All the 21-year-olds that I know are pretty strong, and they have their opinions, and they know where they're going. But for me, at that time, it was the best time, but it was also the worst, because in the end, I was really going nowhere. I wasn't going anywhere. And so I didn't have any answers. You know, answers to tough questions, you know. Like, why was I born? Why sin and suffering? I've got a brother and sister in the grave, never met them. Why are they there? What's their future? And lots of other questions. But that was the worst part of it, because I really wasn't going anywhere. I had no answers. But the best part was that's when I met Jesus Christ. Oh, wow. What a moment that was. And He is the answer. He is the answer. And I just cannot emphasize that enough, that Jesus Christ is the answer. He's what you need. And He's the only thing you need, or the only person that you need in your life. Now, I found Jesus Christ through reading the Bible and through other Christians. And I found Jesus, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I received Christ into my life. So that's when I became a Christian. That's really fair dinkum stuff. When you meet Christ, accept Christ and you receive Him, that's when you become a Christian. And I'm really glad for that moment in time. And I became a Christian. My name was written in the Book of Life. And that book's in heaven. So my name is recorded in the Book of Life in heaven. And that's a privilege. It really is. And, you know, I've celebrated 21. I've done it twice now. I'm on to my third one. And it is a real celebration. Life is a celebration. And today I'd like to thank God in Jesus Christ and to everyone that made it possible for me to be a Christian. My parents and everyone else that has come since then. Or since then. It's been a privilege. Now, let me ask you a question. If I belong to Jesus Christ, and I've been following him since I've been 21, where am I going to end up? If I'm following Jesus Christ, where am I going to end up? I'm going to end up in heaven. If I keep following him, I'm going to end up in heaven. I'm looking forward to that day. I answered God's call on my life, and I made a choice to accept and follow Jesus Christ as my Saviour. I'm really glad I did. I'd like to have a look at some of the answers that I found at that particular time. I spent 6 months of intense study of the Bible. I was impressed that if I was going to find answers, this is the place to find them. I did some Bible studies. I spent 6 months. All I did was almost all I did. Work, eat and sleep, read the Bible. Let's have a look at some of those answers. Could you turn your Bibles to Revelation 22 and verse 13? I found God, I found Christ to be practical people, and feeding him about what they're wanting to do for us. Revelation chapter 22. Okay, so I thought to myself, I'll give God a try because I think that's the only place I've got to go. I knew that. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 13. Jesus' own words. He says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Now, do you know anyone that's infallible? Is there anyone in this room that's infallible? Anyone that you can see? There isn't. Here, Jesus Christ is claiming that he's the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And so I went about proving to see whether this was the case. And he is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And I'm glad it's him. Let's have a look at John chapter 1 and verse 3. And when we meet again, when we look at chapter 2, I'm going to tell you about what my dad was doing when he was 21. That's very interesting. John chapter 1 and verse 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Can I ask you kids a question? The little calf that Lizzie has, who's called Sarsaparilla, and she's reddy, orangey, reddy, browny colour with a white face, who made her? Who created her? You sure it was God? You absolutely sure? Okay. This text here says that Jesus Christ made, created. Okay, you're right, God did. But God told Jesus, and Jesus actually did it. Jesus was the one who actually created the cows, created you. Jesus personally did that. Now, can you imagine how much fun Jesus Christ would have had making his creation, the animals and the humans? I actually think God's got a sense of humour. He has got a sense of humour, and he knows what he's making. And you can see God in the animals, in nature, and in other people. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus made everything. God, he spoke it. Okay, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you know that God loves you? And in finding out that God loved me, wow! I knew my parents loved me, and my brothers and sisters still do, but here I'm finding that God loves me. And that he gave his only son for me, personally for me. Wow. I mean, what love is that? It's just the most powerful force on the face of the planet, God's love, and he loved me, and he sent Jesus Christ to die for me, to take my place, so that I could have eternal life. Wow. What a God. What a Saviour. Could not resist that. Could not resist it. Let's have a look at Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9. I hope that each of you are feeling God's love. I really do. And I pray that you feel God's love on a daily basis. And it's so overpowering that it's your motivating force. Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. How many of you like gifts? You like gifts? You like gifts? Joan, you like gifts? I got a lovely gift this morning from these two young girls here. They gave me a Father's Day gift. I thought that was lovely. Thank you very much for that. We all like gifts. God has given us a gift. It's His grace. That's what His grace is, a free gift, unmerited. We don't deserve it. I certainly don't deserve it. But that's how we're saved, through God's gift. It's nothing of ourselves. There's nothing I can do to merit that gift. It's a total gift. Well, there is something I can do, is accept it. That's what I can do. It's not too hard, just to accept God's gift. Not of works, lest any should boast. Because at that time, being a Catholic, it was a bit works orientated. And I was glad to be let off the hook here, not by works. The only boasting I can do is Jesus Christ, His righteousness. Oh, thank God. Thank you. Let's have a look at Revelation 14 and verse 12. Revelation 14 and verse 12, a very important Bible text. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Here we see the commandments of God. Which commandments is it referring to here? The Ten Commandments. It is specifically talking about the Ten Commandments. It's talking about all of God's commands, but in particular, God's Ten Commandments. Do the Ten Commandments show God's character? They do. You have a look at the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are why Jesus died. We've broken the commandments. And even if you've never broken the commandments, you're still born in sin or under sin. So you still become under the penalty of sin, even if you never break the commandments. However, I don't believe there's anybody that's never broken the commandments. I certainly am not one of those. But here we see the commandments of God. We see the character of God. And it wouldn't take a rocket science to realise if everyone kept the Ten Commandments, what a place it would be. It would be a fantastic place on this earth. Just for example, thou shalt not kill. If that commandment was kept, 68,000 Australians would not have died during World War I for no good reason. They died for nothing. What a waste. And we see the faith of Jesus. Now, I thought to myself, well, who's a saint? And I realised that I was a saint. A saint is a forgiven sinner. Did you know that? That a saint is a forgiven sinner. So if your sins have been forgiven, you're a saint. So this is talking about you and me. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. Now it's sort of indicating that it's a gift. Now what do you do if you get a gift that you don't really want or like? You get rid of it. You give it to someone else or do something else with it. What if you get a gift that you really like? What are you going to do with it? You're going to keep it. You're going to keep that gift. Here we see the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus are a gift to us. We've got to just keep them. In one of the other chapters, we would look at that a little bit further. Let's have a look at John 6, verse 29. John 6, verse 29. Now, the Bible is a very, very thick book. And there's so much in here. There's something for everybody. And there was lots in it for me. John 6, verse 29. Now, I came from Catholicism, from error into truth. And what a big step that was, but an exciting one at the same time. John 6, verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent." As I said to you, I've been doing the same job for 35 years, and I don't intend to change that. And we all have to work. Whether you work a little or a lot, we all got to work. I was always wondering, you know, what is God's work? What does he want me to do? And after meeting Christ, what do you want me to do, Lord? You know, you've done this for me. What can I do for you? Here Jesus is saying, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. That's a Christian's job, to believe on Jesus Christ. That's our job. To believe on him wholeheartedly, without reservation, 100%. That's what God wants us to do. It's a pretty easy job. Pretty easy job. It's the will of God. Wow. You know, I'm coming from thinking I have to work my way to heaven. I have to be good all the time to get there. God is saying I just got to believe in Jesus Christ. This is all I have to do. Let's have a look at Acts 26:18. Who's your favourite apostle? Who's your favourite apostle in the Bible? There was 12 of them. Who's your favourite? Any favourite? You got any favourites? No? What's your favourite? John? Sorry? John? Okay. Anyone else? Sorry? No? No other favourites? Okay. My favourite apostle is the Apostle Paul. Let's have a look in verse 18 here. And this is what Jesus Christ told him after knocking him off his horse. And right there on the ground, Jesus called out to him, and Paul said, who are you, Lord? You know, what do you want me to do? He said, this is what I want you to do, to go to the Gentiles, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. I like the Apostle Paul because Jesus spoke to him and said, you're going to be a preacher to the Gentiles. Now, I'm a Gentile, a spiritual Jew, but physically I'm a Gentile. And here is my own personal minister to preach to me. I don't like what he did beforehand, killing Christians. However, those Christians did die early, but they're going to be in heaven. And so is this guy. He's going to be there too. To open our eyes. You know, when I met Jesus Christ, my eyes were opened. And I turned from darkness to light. And from the power of Satan to the power of God. In this life, we have to choose which side we want to be on. And I don't want to be on the losing side. I want to be on the winning side. Winning team, if you like. That they may receive forgiveness of sins. To have my sins forgiven was such a relief. It was so good to know that I was forgiven. How many of you like the idea of getting an inheritance? How many of you have received an inheritance? I'm sure some of you have, from your parents. Any of you received an inheritance from your parents? I have. Because both my parents are asleep now in the grave, waiting for the resurrection. I received an inheritance, and it's such a good thing to receive an inheritance. God has an inheritance for us, and it is eternal life. He has a home for us in heaven. There's this guy that I work with from time to time. Excuse me for a minute. I nearly tripped over my... There's a fella that I work with from time to time. His name is Carl Barry. I've known him for in the order of 20 years, maybe more. Anyway, every time we meet, he says, "How you going, brother?" I say, "Good, brother. How are you going?" Anyway, I saw him just a few days ago, and I said to him, "Hey, Carl." I said, "Carl, do you think that there is room enough in heaven for two good-looking blokes like you and me? And he said, oh, most certainly there will be. He said, we've got, our places are already set, and over the top of these is VIP, very important persons. That's what he told me. And I thought, that's interesting. He'll be in heaven, Carl. I don't know what his religious faith is, but he's showing faith, and he believes that there's a place for him in heaven. God has a place for us in heaven, and on the new earth, we'll be able to build our own place. And I'm sure there will be cows there. But they won't be jumping out of fences and getting in danger on the road, like Sarsaparilla did. We have an inheritance for those who are sanctified by faith. Let's have a look at Hebrews 9, verse 27. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Now, we've all been appointed to die. That's part of sin. We're all going to die. That's if Jesus doesn't come first. And I'm hoping he does. I hope he comes in my lifetime while I'm alive. Because I don't fancy the idea of dying. But here it says, we're all going to die and we're all going to be judged. There is a judgment. And how do you feel about judgment? You feel good. Thanks, Tom, because I feel good about judgment. I'm thinking, well, it's about time. Vengeance, yes. How many of you would like a little bit of vengeance? Yes, that's God's. He'll bring vengeance. Deal with sin and deal with Satan and the rest of his cohorts and give rewards as well. There is going to be a judgment, but it's going to be a good judgment. How many of you have been in a courtroom and seen judgment given out by the law courts? Anyone? I have. I've been there. You've been there, Tom. I've been in a few courts and, man, it is a mockery. Some of the judgments that we have in this country, they do not agree with God's principles. However, God is going to judge it right. Let's have a look at John chapter 5 and verse 22. There's going to be a judgment. We don't need to be afraid of the judgment. Not at all. John 5 and verse 22. In the judgment, God is going to make everything right. And, John 5 verse 22. For the Father judgeth no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son. Oh, isn't that good news? Jesus Christ not only is our Creator, a Redeemer, He's also our Judge. Now, how would you judge something or someone that you created? You'd be pretty lenient, wouldn't you? If they belong to you, you would be very lenient. Here we see Jesus Christ is the Judge. Do you think He wants to lose anything that He's created? Absolutely not. He does not want to lose anything that He's created. Not man, beast, or field. He's the Judge. And boy, that was good news to me. Really good news. Jesus Christ is my Saviour, and He's my Judge. Wow. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4. Hey, do you think Jesus would be a good judge? He would be a good judge. He would be a good judge. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, I was talking to Lizzie the other day about death, and I was explaining to Lizzie if she dies before Christ comes, that Jesus Christ is going to call her out of the grave. He's going to say, Elizabetha, come out of that grave. And He's going to call all the saints out of the grave at the resurrection. I'm hoping I'm in the second group. We which are alive and remain. I'm hoping I'm alive when Jesus comes. I hope I see him in my lifetime. But he's going to call everyone out of the grave. All the saints in the first resurrection. In the other resurrection, he's going to call all the wicked. And that's when judgment will take place. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28. Let me just read you a statement just before we close on that Bible text. This is a statement from the movie The Conscientious Objector, and I like this. Whosoever would be a man must be a nonconformist, but be transformed by Jesus Christ. I love that statement. Verse 28 of Hebrews chapter 9. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Jesus Christ died on the cross once for you, for each of you, and he died for me once on the cross. That's it, it's been done. The battle has been won, the victory's been won. And unto us, if we look for him, he is going to appear the second time without sin. The first time he was born in sin. The second time without sin unto salvation. Oh, wow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. So when I was 21, there was a question that I asked myself at that particular time. And this was a question. Am I ready to meet Jesus Christ? The answer was yes. When I accepted him and received him into my life, yes, I was ready to meet Jesus Christ. Because he took my place on the cross, died my death. But he rose again so that I could have eternal life with him. The only question remains, and I'm going to say this as strongly as I possibly can, if there's anyone here that's not accepted Christ or received him, today's the day. Do it today. You'll never regret it. He changed my life. It's the best thing that can happen to you is to accept Christ as your personal Saviour. You've got the gift of eternal life, and that's really worth it. It is worth it. So I hope you make that choice today, if you haven't already made that choice, to accept him. And that's where I want to meet you in heaven. If we don't see each other again in this life, I want to see you in heaven. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will rest on each person here today. And I pray especially if there's anyone here that has not received Christ as their personal Saviour, that they will do that today. Because Jesus is all they need. He's all I need, and I thank you that he's in my life. I thank you that he took my place. I thank you also that he's coming again. He's going to take me to heaven. And then we're going to go to the new earth. Wow, I'm looking forward to this. I thank you in Jesus' name for your wonderful blessings. Amen.